The Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine are working on a COVID-19 saliva test, opposed to the current test with the, you know, the cotton bud up the nose and down the throat, which isn't pleasant. Dr. Emily Adams is the senior lecturer in diagnostics for infectious diseases and joins me now. Dr. Emily, thanks for being with us. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Just explain what the current test is like at the moment. Many people will have had it, but for those who haven't, it's not a very pleasant experience, this, is it?
No, it's not. So at the moment, if you're a suspect of COVID, then we ask you to take a deep nasal swab, so that a little tube going up the nose and sort of rubbed around, and then a throat swab, and we combine those, and then we look to see if there's any genetic material of the virus present in those two samples. But it's not very nice. Lots of people will have had it done, and it's quite painful. It's quite sore, especially if you need more than one of those swabs to really find out whether you're a positive case or not.
Hmm. And I've noticed that the nose is always chosen first over the mouth. Is that just coincidence, or is that actually done for a reason?
Well, we just know that this is a respiratory virus. We know that there's quite a lot of virus present in our mucosal membrane, so that's why we choose the nose. And really, we'd like to go as far up into the nasal pharyngeal as we can, but that's even more painful.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I guess it's assumed that a blood test is always best, but for speed, you know, it's practical, isn't it?
So we don't have any virus present in our blood, so we couldn't use that because obviously that's a much easier sample to take. So what we've been doing is exploring different sample types that we could have a look at. And so saliva is an obvious one because it's fairly easy to take. We've been asking our patients to self-sample, so sort of fill their mouths and spit into a tube.
Yeah.
And we've actually found that it's as good as taking a swab sample, but not painful at all.
Right, so that would make it a hell of a lot easier for people, and I suppose for you guys as well. The speed of that is, well, it's a lot quicker.
It's a lot quicker, and also the swabs are, we've had massive stockouts and shortages globally of the swabs, and so that's going to be really important, especially when we look globally, when other countries might not have as good access to consumables such as swabs as ourselves.
So would this be a way that we could all be tested pretty quickly, should it come to that?
Absolutely. So we've done a small-scale evaluation in Liverpool, and we know there are others coming out across the country. And globally, we need to check to see that we get the same pattern of results. But it looks really promising, so that's nice.
Your team's creations, the first line of defence against this virus. I mean, this is what you do. This is your job. But for us on the outside looking in at what you do, I mean, we're kind of in awe of this. But how does it feel for you when you just go in and do the job on a daily basis? Does it feel special for you?
Well, yeah, we're really pleased to play our sort of small part in trying to create diagnostics that are easier, that are simpler to take, that are lower cost. And so, yeah, we're playing a small part. There's so much fascinating research going on at the moment. And so, yeah, we're grateful to be there.
And how are you feeling about lockdown easing at the moment? It must be different for all of those that work with or alongside the virus.
Sure. So we've been, you know, obviously going into work. I've got a big research team of brilliant and enthusiastic young scientists. So it's been fascinating and really exciting to work with them for the last few months. And so, yeah, we're seeing more and more people out and about, more and more cafes opening. So that's nice. And obviously, you know, use of masks and things like that. That's you know, things are changing all the time. New routing systems at work and things. So, yeah, it's an interesting time.
The face covering, the mask or face covering from a week today, isn't it? It's going to be mandatory in shops. Are we doing it right? Are we putting the masks on right? You know, we've got glasses that are steaming up, and you see some people who've just got it over the mouth. You've got some people who've just got it over the nose, and, you know, some people have got it round the neck. You know, we need to be a bit more consistent with this, really, don't we?
We do, yeah. So it should go over the nose and the mouth and be worn as much as possible, really. So, yeah, we're seeing more and more use. I think on public transport, pretty much everyone's got them on at the moment. I had to catch the ferry over, and Everyone's got their mask coverings on. I think we're going to see that ramping up in the next, few weeks.
Yeah, it will almost be like, making sure you got your mobile phone with you. You never leave the house without your mobile phone. You never leave your house without your mask.
Yeah. And keys, it's not wallet, mask.
Yeah, exactly. Keys, wallet, mask. Yeah. It's become a bit of a trend now as well, which is good. And we see the blue, almost like surgical masks as well. But there's a whole industry that's popped up with, football crests on the side of it. You got Adidas signs or Nike ticks or whatever, And this is a good thing. But if it becomes a trendy thing to wear, I mean, that's a big help.
It is, yeah. I've seen more and more shops with fascinating and beautiful coloured masks. And we've got a lot of sort of African material masks at work, which are really beautiful. So, it's good to see that people are sort of protecting themselves and thinking about their community.
Just looking a little further down the line before we let you go, yesterday there was news that initial testing of a vaccine at Oxford University shows that it does indeed promote an immune response in patients. It's big news, but with every kind of punch the air moment, you kind of just have to rein yourself in a little bit with a bit of cautiousness, really. Do you find that when you read these reports?
Yes, I mean, obviously this is good news, but the phase one trial data is what they're referring to. It's going to be published on Monday, so we'll know a lot more detail then about the sort of immune response that they've been able to elicit from those first 1,000 participants in the vaccine trial. And so it's really exciting news. If it looks like both parts of our immune system are stimulated, or two separate parts of our immune system are stimulated. So that's good news. But yeah, we have to caution that this is only 1,000 participants. We're looking for much bigger trials. And then also we need to see how that works in terms of, are you able to reduce transmission, reduce disease in those groups of people? We haven't, that data won't be ready on Monday. That will take a long time.
Yeah, and when will we actually know if these vaccines and drugs being tested will work properly or not? Because, again, as members of the public from the outside looking in, we know you're working round the clock, and we go, can you give us a time? Can you give us a date? Is it before Christmas? Is it
sure,
can I go on holiday?
Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? Yeah, everyone wants a sort of defined timeline, but I guess that's science. We're looking to challenge the vaccines, we're looking to challenge the drugs that are in development. But it's going to be a long process. There's so much exciting work going on in Liverpool, though. We have the Agile clinical trial that's starting this week. We've got COVID Live, which is our looking at seroprevalence and epidemiology in the community in Liverpool. So there's a lot of fascinating research. We'll keep you as up to date as we can.
And just to finish on a positive, we're hearing about the possibility of a second wave. Is it a second wave, or is it the tail end of the first wave? However, we're going to move into the winter months, and it is a worry. However, we know a lot more than we did about this virus now. So if it does come, we're pre-warned and pre-armed to a certain degree.
Yeah, I think clinicians are more prepared for it. They do know better ways to treat patients and to manage patients indeed. And so we know a lot more about this virus, and we're prepared. We're just talking about the mask. That's not something we would have considered, even 3 or 4 months ago. So we can just hope.
Dr. Emily, thank you very much indeed. Good to talk to you. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.